This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com. You can save 10% on every order by using the code FIT10. Put that in the comments section at checkout and save 10% on every order. Also, you can save 40% off everything at inside-out-warm-up.com if you use the code IFAST, that's IFAST. That's exclusively for FitCast members. It was supposed to end on Sunday, but we're going to extend it for all FitCast listeners, so you can check that out as well. This week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 98. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and no Jimmy Smith this week, but we do have Jen Heath back. What's up, Jen?
Just glad to be back on the show. Should be fun.
And we also have, remember that guy, Tony Gentilcore, the guy who made that weird pumpkin mix-up for his, that pumpkin recipe for his...
That's my legacy, is the fact that I eat pumpkin.
That's what you're known for on the internets.
What sucks.
And also for his first appearance on the FitCast, that will go down in history for podcasting. But you guys, it's great to have you back. And Tony, good to have you back. We haven't had you on in, like, I think 2 months or something like that. So it's
it's definitely been a couple of weeks. But I like to make my cameo appearances every now and then. So it's I'm glad that I'm back, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, again, no Jimmy Smith. He will be back on next week's show, so don't worry too much about that. But let's jump right into the FitCast news. First off, for people out there, we do have a 100th episode coming up, and the way that I'm going to do this is I'm going to put up a couple names on the FitCast.com, and we're going to have a poll, and you can pretty much vote for who you want that guest to be on the 100th episode, and we're going to basically put the biggest names that we think we can get up there. So I want to know who you want to see, so just head over to thefitcast.com while you're listening to this or after you're done listening, and just look at the list of names on there. And also, if you don't see a name that you'd like to have on there, just send me an email and I'll throw it in the poll, and feel free to vote for who you want to be on the 100th episode. That should be coming in a couple weeks. Also, I got to meet Will Harris. I don't know if you guys know who that is. He's a professional bodybuilder.
I've never heard of him. I'm sure Jen has. I haven't.
Yeah, well, he's big, Will Harris. I haven't talked to you guys too much about this, but I've been actually training at Gold's Gym here in Venice. And it's basically a powerhouse for all the professional bodybuilders. I also met Jay Cutler, who's just the biggest man I've ever seen in my life. But it's very interesting. I mean, there's a lot of female figure competitors, which is always good to have at your local gym. It's definitely a plus, but I just thought that was cool. We actually might get him on the show. I'm going to look at getting him on the show in the future to talk about professional bodybuilding, because I don't think that's something that we've covered too much, and I think we do have some listeners that would be interested in that. Also, you know, speaking of recipes, Tony, I have something that it's not probably as nutritious as your pumpkin, pumpkin, green beans, and...
I swear to God, every day that I'm at my facility, the kids will see what I'm eating, and they'll be like, oh, what is that? And, I'm at the point now where I don't necessarily eat for taste, but I think the stuff I taste is pretty good. Throw in some Vanilla Metabolic Drive, and it tastes fine to me. But, pumpkin, yeah, it's like, I think what it was pumpkin, oatmeal, some broccoli, some blueberries, and maybe I threw in some greens product in there, too. I don't remember.
It's definitely colorful. Oh, and that reminds me, have either of you guys tried, because I'm running out of Greens Plus, and I'm thinking about picking up Biotest's new, like, greens product.
I love that stuff. I take it every single day.
Does it taste good?
Yes, it doesn't taste like greens. It kind of actually this is going to sound weird, but it kind of actually has like almost like a clay. I don't know. It's not like doesn't like taste like clay. I don't want to say that because that would make it sound like it tastes bad. But it just kind of has like a more of a bland taste to it than like greens, where that you know how that sharp barley greeny taste is so potent when you take it. It doesn't have that flavor. So what I do every morning is I mix it with branching amino acids, creatine, and then I just put a little bit of crystallite powder in there. And my branched-chain amino acids are flavored. I've got a few different flavors. So whichever flavor I'm in the mood for to mix my BCAAs with crystallite, and it's really good. So
yeah,
I put the protein powder in there, too. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I get the BioTest Fairy drops something off for me every month, and I get superfood, and I love it. Like compared to Greens Plus, it's actually definitely tolerable. Throw it in a protein shake, even by itself. Like you can make a tea out of it too. But definitely a good tasting product, and I've been using it every day for the last few months, and I love it.
Well, I guess you guys sold me on that. I guess that's all I really need with some convincing.
I think it's worth it. I mean, I think a month's supply is, I don't know, I think it's 40-something maybe.
Yeah, it's $40.
It's $39.99.
But that's not to say, first of all, that's not to say that I still don't eat my fruit and vegetables. Like, I think a lot of people are on the assumption, I'll just take my superfood and I'm good for the day. I mean, I still eat a ton of fruits and vegetables, but adding the superfood to, like, my protein shake, I'll put it in my oatmeal, I'll put it in my post-workout shake. And I love it. You know, it actually gives it a pretty nice little fruity, tea-ish kind of flavor to it.
You know what I mean when I say it kind of has like, it's not like it tastes like dirt, because it does taste good, so it's kind of weird to say, well, it kind of tastes like clay, but don't you feel like it kind of has that smoother, more muted flavor to it?
It's definitely a unique flavor. I mean, it's hard to put like a finger on it, but it doesn't taste bad. So That's the easiest way I can explain it.
Maybe I should ask Alan Cosgrove to see what he says after what he said about Greens Plus. I'd love to see his reaction to superfood. But I think I'll definitely have to pick some up. And I feel bad. Like it's weird because like out here, I pretty much only get one or two real servings of vegetables a day because vegetables are kind of expensive right now. And even though I do all my shopping at Trader Joe's, which helps, but it's nice to have just like a green supplement just to, you know, as a backup.
You know, I think a person would be better off taking a half serving than nothing, and then you're looking at $20 a month, even if you were just to take, you know, a half serving of the superfood, and better than nothing. And that's pretty darn cheap if you think about it right there. I mean, the stuff is super high quality and really potent, so it'd be that would be pretty good, I think.
Yeah, and it's something that I've been looking at. Like, I just need to have a green supplement because I don't take multivitamins anymore, basically because every multivitamin that I've tried gives me stomach problems. So I literally have tried almost every brand of reputable multivitamins, and it just, like, every time I have stomach problems. So I'm just looking to get, you know, my vitamins and minerals anywhere I can get them. So, but yeah, that's, thanks for your input, guys. I know it wasn't really on topic for the show, but it's a good topic to talk about. So anyways, I had a recipe for something. This is something that's a little bit different, but I kind of have this thing. I get low-fat or full-fat yogurt, and I like to mix protein powders in it as, like, a quick, like, on-the-go. Like, if I just need to eat something really quickly, I can do that real fast. And I have been doing Black Star Labs, their chocolate Casein Pro 2.0. I throw a scoop of that in a cup of yogurt. You can do either full fat or low fat, but it tastes like it kind of tastes like chocolate pudding. I guess that's the best way I can put it. Like, if anyone out there, if you have like chocolate Casein Pro 2.0 from Black Star Labs, give that a shot. I promise you, I started putting in a little bit of Splenda, but you don't really even need the Splenda for it. And it's something that I used to do with BioTest, like, with their strawberry metabolic drive. I did the same thing, and I was, like, addicted to that in college when I was in between classes. But I don't know. That's, and I know it's not probably as healthy as or as, you know, colorful as the one that Tony came up with. But you know, I tried. They haven't put me on Top Chef yet, which I'm a little disappointed about. They didn't accept my application.
That's a great show, by the way. I watched last season. I will admit that I did get addicted to it.
I do too. It's just it is a good show. I mean, there's definitely some good reality TV out there.
And speaking of pudding, because I know you mentioned pudding,
yes.
One of my coworkers, Brian, he enlightened me a little bit. There's a product called Cozy Shack pudding. There's a regular version, and then there's a version that's made with Splenda. Well, it has Splenda in it, and I'm addicted to this stuff. I've been putting it in, just mixing like a cup of cottage cheese with a container of Cozy Shack, and in and of itself. Each serving has roughly, I think, 4 to 5 grams of fiber, and like 6 grams of protein.
Nice. What's it called again? Say it really clear.
It's hard to find. It's called Cozy Shack. It's Kozy and then Shack. Cozy Shack.
Oh, okay. Cozy Shack. Can you get it online?
Like I said, I think yeah, you can. They I think what happens, like my ex girlfriend went online and said and saw that they had a website, but they don't deliver. Unfortunately, so I had to go to like 3 different stores to actually find it because I mean the version that I want, I mean I think all stores have it, but they don't, they all don't have the one that's sweetened with Splenda. So I finally found one, and you know, I've, like there's like chocolate tapioca, they have like an apple pie one, but for all intents and purposes, not too bad. You know, I put it in a little cottage cheese, might add a little bit of protein powder in there, and I've even added superfood to that too. And it's great. It's awesome.
You know that
I am all about the new pudding recipes. I'm going to have to go see if I can pick some of that up.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. So if you can find it, like, I swear to God, I go to the store, and, like, I'm like, if anyone's ever watched that movie Punch Drunk Love with Adam Sandler, how he buys, like, a boatload of pudding to get, like, frequent flyer miles, I feel like that guy. Like, I have, like, a shopping cart with, like, 15 cans of pudding. I'm like, oh, hi, I'm that guy. You know, and just, like, so I feel
hilarious.
A little odd going through the line with that, but it's great stuff. So that's another one that I've been using lately.
All right. I think, you know what? What we'll do right now is, you know, before we jump into the mailbag, let's talk a little bit about the seminar that you guys had over at Cressy Performance. Tony, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was, I want to say 3 weeks ago. It was actually our first official seminar at Cressy Performance, so, and it featured Cassandra Forsyth and Eric, and it was about a 5-hour seminar, like 12 to 5. We had close to maybe, I think, 50, 60 people show up, and Cassandra,
that's
and it was all going, yeah, it wasn't too bad. I mean, I think between my blog and Eric's newsletter, you know, we did maybe 4 weeks in advance.
By the way, Tony has some of the best blog posts on his Step Up blog. People have to check out, like, some of the funniest writing I've read in my life. I have to check it out every day.
I'm almost at a crossroads. I know a lot of times, like me, like writing about like carbohydrate metabolism and like glutamate activation is about as exciting as watching paint dry.
Exactly.
So I try to give it a little bit more of a zing to it, and sometimes I get a little carried away. But then I figure for every blog post that I kind of mess around on, I have to have one that actually has really good content. So I try to like do like blogs that have good content but also just have that humor. So but thank you for the plug, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's bostonherald.com/blog/entertainment/step_up. We'll have a link
yeah,
for it in the show notes. So
it really, I mean, easiest just go to the bostonherald.com and click on blogs and you'll find it. But I'm actually might even be changing the blog to like tonygenicore.com, just because I'm just thinking about leaving it. Don't know if I will or not yet, or don't even know if I will, but I'm thinking about doing that just because it'll be easier. But yeah, just go to bostonherald.com and you know, you should be able to just click on blogs and you'll find it.
And you also had a great sign. Is this a sign that you really have posted outside your door?
Oh yeah, we put that up. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Nice. I'm going to save that for the viewers. Check out Tony's blog. It's something that all gyms should have, personally.
Yeah. No, it's we put it. It's right as soon as you walk through the door, and it's actually on top of our stereo. So right before you walk through the door, to go into the where the weight room is. That's what the kids see, and everyone. It's awesome.
So anyways,
that's one of the benefits of having your own gym. You can basically just do what you want.
Do whatever you want, exactly.
but yeah, back to the seminar. Like I said, it was our first one, and it was really focused on women. You know, Cassandra talked about the nutrition component, and then Eric talked about the training component. And then she covered a lot of material. So basically anything dealing with women and nutrition, she covered. Some of the big high points for me was just a lot of it. She was dealing with the menstrual cycle and how women should like fluctuate the carbohydrate intake or fat intake based off where they are in their cycle, which is interesting. I actually blogged about that. So, I mean, if someone went to my blog, they could see what I mean with that. She talked about she's not a big fan of microwaving food, which was a bummer to me. I was like, oh, man, darn it.
And, xenoestrogens?
Yeah, well, she talked about the whole plastic bottle thing. She says always drink tap water above bottled water, and you should never drink water out of a plastic bottle, according to Cassandra.
Even like the Nalgene bottles?
Yeah. No, she's not a big fan of that stuff.
Damn.
And she also despises the book Skinny Bitch, which I have to give her kudos for.
Definitely, I saw that.
Yeah, it's atrocious. But you know, she covered a lot of material in about a 3-hour span. So, and anything dealing with women and nutrition. So I mean, she did the basic stuff like, you know, these are what carbohydrates do for you. These are what fats do for you. These are what protein does for you, but she also went a little bit into the training, basically telling women that, you know, when you look on the covers of Shape magazine, Oxygen, that for most women that's just not going to be attainable, and I mean honestly, like those pictures are photoshopped, and those women are like they look that way for like 1 or 2 days. They get in prep for that, they do their photo shoot, and then that's how they look for that day. They don't look like that all the time. It's almost. I'm sure Jack can jump in on that and explain that. Like, that's just not feasible.
Well, I'm so glad that she mentioned that and that she talked about that to people, because you're always going to feel like a failure in life if you have this goal in your head that you think is reality that you're never going to attain. So you're just spending your whole life chasing after a pipe dream. So. Yeah, I mean, it's just a semi-version of getting ready for a bodybuilding show. I mean, it makes me so angry when people who are totally oblivious to bodybuilding and don't understand it whatsoever, and figure competitors, that they look at the muscles and they're like, ew, that's gross, I would never want to look like that. And I'm like, well, neither would we. We only look like that for one day. You know, get over yourself. And
you
that's
an
the
example,
truth.
Yeah,
what was that?
As an example. I mean, Cass actually used you as an example. Like, she put pictures of, like, you know, the women on the covers of the magazines, and she put pictures up of like the bodybuilders, which most people are like, oh my god, that's horrible. And then she put pictures up of like you herself, you know, and like physiques that are very muscular and lean, but still very, very, very feminine. And you know, absolutely. And I knew you would shed light on it a little bit more than I could, but no, that's actually how Cassandra started up the whole seminar, was basically just flat out telling women, like, listen, don't go by these magazine covers and think that that's, not that it's not attainable, but it's just a very skewed way of going about things. Because like you said, like those women look like that for 1, maybe 2 days out of the year, you know, because they're prepping for that photo. And then, you know, the rest of the year, they don't look nearly that lean or cut or anything like that. Not to say they don't look good, but...
Well, no, I mean, I usually shoot out something completely, like, unrealistic to somebody. I ask them, I'm like, well, do you want to eat no carbs for 4 days and then stuff yourself full of carbs while you deplete water for 3 or 4 days every week of your life just so that you can look good every weekend when you go out? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, that's what everybody does. So stop thinking that it's possible and start living in reality. And then I teach them that they can look like you said, I mean, that's very flattering. Like me, she used a picture of me. I mean, I think I look fairly good year-round, even when I'm not competing, but it's realistic what I look like, you know?
It's like a happy
And then other, you can do that. You can do that and be completely happy with yourself. And that the only reason why is because you realize that that's the furthest that you can go, unless you want to become a competitor, which most people don't. I mean, I do it for the competition of it. I don't do it because I like looking, you know, 7% body fat, you know? So it's cool. I'm glad she touched on that. It's so important.
Yeah, I mean, we really want, like I said, we wanted to make this seminar very female-focused and, you know, basically dealing with the female athlete or just females in general. And, like, and then also Eric talked, too. Like, Eric talked for, like, the last hour and a half to, like, the training component and how, you know, women tend to gravitate towards yoga and Pilates and aerobic classes just because it's a camaraderie factor. Yep. So what we did and what we do at Cressy Performance is what Eric did for the presentation, as a matter of fact, is just show videos of the women that train there, how they train together. I mean, as funny as it sounds, we actually have on Saturdays, it's a joke. We don't call it, it's more of a running joke between the people that are there, but we call it Vagina Hour. And basically, it's like six or seven, eight females training at the same time. I mean, they're doing their own programs, but they're training at the same time. And at the tail end of it, they might do like what we call a death circuit together. Like they're doing suicides, med ball throws, sled pushes.
Nice.
And we showed videos of that during his presentation. And, it's just showing that women, yes, you can train and lift heavy stuff and do good things. You know, it doesn't have to be pink dumbbells and rubber bands and, you know, unicorn tears and rainbows, you know. It's like, you know, it's just...
Well, you know what, there's something psychological about it too. Once you get them away from that, like all of my clients lift heavy, they don't necessarily start out lifting heavy, like if they're severely overweight or if they've never lifted before, they don't start heavy, but I get them all lifting heavy fairly quickly, and then sometimes they need kind of like a deloading phase where I put them on more of a lightweight circuit style for a couple of weeks with a little bit more carbs and just kind of get them recovered, and then by the end of the 2 weeks, they're begging me. They're like, oh, we need to be lifting heavy again, you know. It's psychological to be strong. I could go on for hours, but I'm glad
I agree. You know, a lot of it's just a confidence thing. You know, they don't yep. think they can do it, but... You know, when you put the weight in front of them and say, this is what you're going to do, then they do it. And, I mean, we do the same thing. Like, you know, we've had women start up and they're programmed to think that they're these delicate creatures and they can't do this. And, you know, and in about a month, they're like, when are we going to deadlift again? When are we going to squat again? And, I mean, that's the cool thing. And we show videos of that. And, you know, Eric, being the biomechanical geek that he is, you know, went into detail about ACL injuries and, mm-hmm. all that stuff, you know, that especially from the female athlete component, from that side, but yeah, it went off very well. It was like just a quick 4 or 5 hour seminar, lots of good information. People were able to, you know, see the facility, and it actually went off very, very well, and we'll definitely be doing more soon. Where I'm sure we'll probably do more another female focused one, but you know, being that we're in a pretty good area for strength conditioning with Boyle and. You know, in between Eric and mine's connections, like, we're definitely going to have more seminars there. And, you know, that we're just awesome. Kind of, like, testing the waters. So, but, yeah, we're definitely going to go down that route again. It was a blast.
That was a question I was going to ask you, if you guys have any plans for any upcoming seminars at all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Eric and I are always shooting, you know, each other ideas. Like, we talked about having McGill come in.
Great.
You know, Mike Boyle, you know, we'll have Costco, Robertson. I mean, Hartman. I mean, it's just a matter of logistically who can come when and what we can do to accommodate them. And I mean, nothing, believe me, I say those names. I'm not saying that that's definitely going to happen. It's just names that we've thrown out there.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly between the connections that both of us have, that it's definitely going to happen. It's just a matter of, you know, getting it, you know, organized and doing it. So, and I might actually, I might step in the foray of presenting soon enough. I've never done it, but... it'd definitely be cool to get my feet wet in that regard too.
That'd be great. I haven't talked about this on the show, but it's like a pretty good chance that I'm probably going to end up coming home and my dreams of getting into video game journalism probably aren't going to be attained. So I might. I'm looking forward if you guys are having more seminars and stuff. We'll definitely have to talk about them on the show, and I'd love to attend some. And I still haven't seen the new facility, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty sick ass. We're very happy with it. You were at the first one.
I went to the first
one. So the new one is actually in a professional building. Like, I mean, our other gym that we had, I mean, very grunge feel, but you know, the bathrooms were kind of shady and it just wasn't like ideal. But
shady bathrooms, whoa.
Yeah, how were they shady?
Was, I mean, we liked the grunge aspect of it. Like, we don't want to be like a 5-star gym or anything like that. But you know, we like having the grunge factor and a little bit of attitude. But we're in a very you know, professional building, and we have, and it's about 2.5 times bigger than it was. I think we're at 6,800 square feet.
Wow.
And I'm sure, I think I might have mentioned even the last time I was on the show, was, you know, we have a 45-yard sprint track, and we have anything, you know, we have power racks and sleds and med ball wall. I mean, anything you could want to be a better athlete or stronger, we have there. And then we also have, you know, we have a bunch of interns that are working with us, one of which is from Ireland, who's actually a licensed massage therapist, so he's been working on us, which is, we're kind of loving that, and we're taking advantage of him this summer. But then we also work with John Paloff, who's a physical therapist out of Worcester, who he comes in like once every, he works a lot with Boyle's athletes too, but he comes in and he works on our athletes, works on us, so it's kind of nice having that network. But good things are going to come in the next year, we hope. So we're happy the way things are going, and we hope that it continues that way.
Absolutely. Well, we'll have to, we'll keep all the listeners informed about that, and we'll definitely have to, like I said, I'm kind of dying to check the new place out. Actually, I just got my Cressy Performance t-shirt on Friday, or on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. There was an envelope in the office for you. Yeah, I was like, oh, he's getting a shirt.
Yeah,
Cody, you better tell Eric that I want a t-shirt.
Yeah, we got to send you one. Let me, shoot me an email, give me your address, we'll send you one.
I will.
Well, I ordered mine through ericcressy.com. So that's how you make, and it was good. It was quick service, you know. It was handwritten envelope is what I got my t-shirt in, which is good, you know. And it's really cool. Like, I'm gonna give a plug for the shirts, because the shirts are only $15.
Like, yeah, I mean, they're
really
cool
cheap.
Cool logo. It's a cool shirt. I mean,
it's a great t-shirt.
I mean, what happens is when we have new athletes come in, we give them a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to pay for it. Like, when anyone that comes in for an evaluation or you know, starts training us, we just give them a shirt. Because, I mean, we think about their walking advertisements, you know, and we want people wearing a shirt.
I wore my proudly at Gold's this morning while I was deadlifting, so.
Nice. You know, we have all our pro athletes, you know, they're wearing them where they are, and, you know, our kids wear them at high school, and so, I mean, it's been cool. But, yeah, you know, we have the shirts, we have sweatshirts we sell, we have winter hats that we sell. Even last night we were talking about sweatpants and shorts, and I don't know, we'll make a clothing line. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, if you guys did, like, Under Armour, like, can you do that? Oh, we'll talk about this later.
I'm sure you could, but I don't know. I don't think we'll go that far.
Well, you know what, you guys, I think it's time for the mailbag. We've gotten a ton of mailbag questions over the last couple of weeks, and I think we should start out with a first one from Mike from Phoenix, Arizona. He says, due to my hectic schedule, I have to work out at 5 a.m. I've heard so much about pre- and post-workout nutrition, but so much of it seems contradictory. Right now, I'm drinking a protein shake of about 35 grams of protein and 10 grams of carbs right before I leave for the gym. After my workout, I have another shake of about 100 grams of carbohydrates along with some creatine. I'm guessing it's just carbohydrates, no protein, because he doesn't mention protein. I've heard about consuming carbs and protein right before I go to bed, but the idea of that many calories right before sleep seems like they would be easily converted to fat. My diet is good throughout the day, just not sure how to time my meals and what they should consist of, given that I work out right after I awaken. And that, again, that's from Mike from Arizona. And you know what, Tony, didn't you still, like, work out a lot in the morning? I feel like I don't...
Not that early. Working out that early, I mean, I train people that early, but I've never worked out myself that early. I don't think I could do that. But, I mean, I could. I think from what he's doing right now is actually pretty good. I mean, it's really individual. I mean, the answer to everything is it depends. You know, if he said he's getting up that early and taking in a, what was it, 35 grams of protein, 10 grams of carbs?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really going to be what he can tolerate that early. I mean, some people can eat a meal and be fine. Some people, you know, sniff food and they throw up that early in the morning. So if that's working for him, great. I think that's – I don't want people training on an empty stomach. And what he said, I mean, sounds just about perfect to me. And then, you know, then he says he follows it up with a 100-gram carbohydrate meal, and then he's on it and going. But it's really, I'm a big fan. I mean, the article from a couple of years ago, Lonnie Lauder wrote Temporal Eating, I think that's what it was called, but basically saying that the body handles carbs better early in the day, and as the day goes on, it's better to kind of switch over to more protein and fat. But, you know, Jenna can get into more detail about this. She's a little bit more of a dieting girl than I am. But
this looks good. I mean, it looks good. Honestly, definitely make sure that you're getting in some protein right after your workout. I mean, carbs are important, and they're awesome. It's an awesome time for your carbs. I mean, you're just doing everything right as far as getting your glycogen replaced. Just make sure that you're not eating a lot of fruit right after your workout. Like, well, some fruit is good, but, like, say, apples and bananas that have mostly fructose, those can't go into your muscles. They can only go into your liver. So just be eating oats or, you know, something else that'll replenish your glycogen, and then make sure you get some protein in after your workout, because protein is critical right after your workout. I would say that if I had the choice of one or the other to consume right after my workout, I would definitely choose protein. I mean, I definitely do both, but if I choose one or the other, I'd choose protein. So get the protein in there with your carbs. I assume you're already getting some. Just if it's only 5 or 10 grams, make sure that it's more up to the 20, 30, 40 gram range right after your training. And the whole thing about consuming calories and proteins and carbs right before bed, I mean, obviously, if you're a morning trainer, I'm a huge fan of good, solid proteins and fats all the way up to bedtime. I do not believe in cutting your food off at 5 and, you know, all having extra calories after 5 is going to go to fat. I mean, it just depends on how many, like Tony said, it depends. It mm-hmm. really, truly does. I mean, if your calories are at maintenance or over maintenance, you're definitely not going to want to eat carbs at night right before you go to bed. But if you're at a deficit, technically you could eat some carbs before bed, and it's not going to be converted to fat because you're at a deficit. So, but, you know, go ahead and eat before you go to bed. I would just say, if you're already leery of the carbs at night and you're not even training at night, I wouldn't take them. I wouldn't take carbs. If you're training at night, however, the carbs before bed is a necessity. Carbs and protein both. I mean, I like I say, I like what you're doing right after your workout. And if you worked out at night, you'd need to do that at night. So I'd say stick with what you're doing. Add in some protein, you know, with that carb meal after your training, and keep up the good work.
One argument that I had a lot with my exercise physiology teacher is that he always kind of you know, poked fun at the fact that another student and I were talking about having a protein shake, or like a casein protein shake, before we go to bed every night. We'd always like have discussions on why is that important? Like, what's the point of eating right before you go to sleep, or, you know, 3 or 4 hours before you go to sleep? And I just think it'd be interesting to just look at the research to see what that says in terms of meals before you go to bed. I don't know if either of you guys have checked out any of the research on that at all.
I haven't. I can't recall off the top of my head any research that did a test study on, you know, individuals who ate before bed and those who didn't. Mm-hmm. I know that people who eat breakfast tend to eat less later on in the day than those that mm-hmm. don't. I mean, people like to argue minutia, and they like to argue, oh, should I eat protein, should I eat carbs? It's like, sometimes I just want to tell people to shut up. It's like, but, I mean, rule of thumb, I mean, I'm kind of lying in the same lines as Jen. It's like, I mean, if you're training that early in the day, a meal before bed should be something like cottage cheese, maybe some peanut butter and some fish oil, a protein shake. I just think it's better to get a slow-absorbing protein before you go to bed, just so your body has something to work with while, you know, for the next 8 to 10 hours. You know, I hate when Oprah gets on TV and says, I don't eat past 5 o'clock, and then you have all these women doing the same thing, and then they wonder why, you know, they rebound after, you know, 8 weeks of dieting. But, you know, as far as like a study, you know, I mean, there very could well be one, but off the top of my head, I can't think of it. But, you know, what Jen recommended is generally what I would recommend for that same person. So,
well, and it really, it all has to do with nutrient partitioning, and that's why it's mm-hmm. so important, the timing of your meals, and why we're talking about eating carbs around your training and proteins and fats at other times and stuff like that. I mean, if you're eating all the wrong things, then yeah, you don't want to eat after 5 because you're just going to put more crap in your mouth. I mean, why? Why would you want to do that? But if you're eating all of the right things, the chances are very great that your body is, like Tony said, going to need something to work with in the middle of the night, because for 24 hours after your training, you're repairing your muscles and preparing to be just that much better the next day. If you cut it off and you don't eat before you go to bed, you're just depriving your body of what it needs, because you still burn relatively, you know, small, but still burning calories and still functioning while you're sleeping. So if you're eating the right things and the right meal combinations at the right times, and things are being put in your body where they need to make you bigger, better, faster, stronger, all those things, why cut it off? Why stop it short? That's like running your tank on empty all the time. So it's not a good idea.
And I'm a simpleton. Like, I mean, certainly, you know, you can read on the internet about all these theories and studies and whatnot. And, you know, even that whole, you know, I eat 100 grams of carbs after I train. I mean, that's really going to be dependent on how you're training, how long you're training, and what you're doing when you're training. You know what I mean? So, like, people read, oh, I have to have carbs after I train. You know, some people just do not handle carbs well. And, like, they'll read that Berardi eats them, and, like, I eat them, and Jimmy eats them, and Jen eats them, and, like, oh, so I should be doing it, too. And it's like, no, you know, like, that what works for us doesn't necessarily work for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I like when Jen said, if I had to choose, I would choose protein. Like, I'd be the same way, you know, and it depends. Like, if someone's trying to shed fat, like, I'd be a little leery. I'm having, like, a, I mean, yes, their body's going to handle those carbs much more efficiently during that training hour period, whatever, workout window, whatever you want to call it. But certainly, you just got to take things into context. Like, if you're not an individual that handles carbs all that well, you know, even if it is oatmeal or fruit or whatever, you know, then you need to tweak stuff to fit what works well for you. You know, I've kind of lost my train of thought because I go on rants, but just like, people just need to put stuff into context of what works for them, and not, I mean, certainly yes, use the information, but you know, take what applies to you. And don't, you know, overcomplicate things.
We're going to pause for a second because arriving fashionably late is Jimmy Smith. We're going to pause, but the audience will not know about it. We're just going to add Jimmy.
Cool.
All right. So no Jimmy Smith. That was a tease, but he'll be back on the show next week. So I'm sorry to Jimmy's three fans. The next question we have comes from, we'll take this one from Dan. He says, I can't find these training shoes anymore. Can you? If so, would you be so kind to share where? If not, what are people using instead? And Dan's pretty much talking about the Nike Free shoes. And to be honest, Dan, I don't know where you live, but I really haven't had a problem finding them. The best place, if you're in the States, is to go to eastbay.com. I actually just bought two more pairs. They're expensive, though. Are you guys having any trouble finding them?
I got my Nike Frees off eBay. I train in those for my deadlifts and my squats because they're better. They're more flat, and they're awesome for those. Off eBay. And I know you can't you still? I think you can still go on and design yourself a pair on Nike.
Yeah.
So... they are expensive. You're going to spend $120 minimum if you go on Nike. I mean, there's no question. I got my Freeze, some 7.0 cross trainers a year and a half or two ago on eBay. I know that they have several pairs on eBay. Currently, I'm doing my training in some lower, like, you know, those, the new Nike shocks.
Mm-hmm.
I like the 5-tiered shocks, and I've got a pair that are for cross training. They're shorter. They're not as tall, so they don't throw you off balance as much. Still training my Freeze for squats and deadlifts, though. So, yeah, try eBay, and, you know, you can always pull out the big bucks and just go on Nike ID and design them.
You can always go down to, like, Foot Locker and pick up some Chuck E. T's. Be old school. What about you, Tony?
I want to say I heard through the grapevine, because I you know Eric. These are the type of conversations that Eric and I have at the facility because we're dorks, but... it was
you calling me a dork?
Oh, I mean, it's just like some of the stuff that we talk about, people will look at us and be like, why are you guys talking about that? You know, but it's just what we do. But I wanna say that the current line of Nike Freeze were discontinued and that they recontinued them. They're gonna redesign them, and I wanna say they just recently got re-released. So, because I know East Bay was like inundated with a boatload of new Freeze, and that's where I got mine. I've actually, out here in Massachusetts, have gotten, they are pretty hard to find here in all actuality, but if you go on to East Bay, they're right there, and now you're just at the mercy of whether or not they have your size or not, and you're at the mercy of, of what colors they have available. I mean, the nice thing about going to Nike.com is, yes, you can customize them into what colors and size and whatever you want to do on them, but you will have to pay for that. But the pair that I like, the 5.0s, and I got mine on eBay for like $90. That's with shipping, so not that bad at all. And they're worth it. I mean, I wear them every day. I wear them while I'm coaching. I wear them while I train. You know, so, I mean, spending $90 on a pair of shoes is worth it to me, and plus I write it off as on taxes anyway, so...
I'm on East Bay right now, and the ones that I got were the Nike Free Dynamic Trainers. I got one pair of those, the white, red, and silver, and they're $85 right now on East Bay, and I absolutely love them. I actually like them a lot more than the 5s and the 7s. I just like wear them to work, and I wear the I still have a pair of 7.0s. My 5.0s are pretty much just worn out completely. But I also bought a pair of the Nike Men's Free Everyday, which is another sub category that they have, and they're really stiff. They're really stiff shoes, so I'm not really that happy with them. I kind of actually regret buying them, but if I guess it's their way of setting up like it's like a free morphed in with a running shoe. So if you're gonna be if you want like a new kind of running shoe or something that's more like a free for a running shoe, that might be something to look at. And they also have for all the people with iPod and those Nike iPod sensor things, they actually have one of the Nike Free Everydays that supports that. So that might be something that could be a selling point. It's $2 more for them to cut a little small hole in the shoe, but that's pretty much what you pay for it. So it's worth taking a look. Go to eastbay.com. And also, if you want to go to a retail store, I've had luck at Foot Locker. And I think Foot Locker is actually owned by East Bay now. So that could be why that's going on. We'll do one more question before we wrap up this show. And we'll take that one from Roger, who actually I think means squeeze in two, because this is just really a comment. A couple weeks ago on the show, we asked about people cutting back on supplementation because of the economy and, you know, rising gas prices, which is hurting everyone's wallet at this point. But Roger actually sent an email saying, "I'm not only cutting back on supplements, but eliminating them completely after my current supply runs out." He says, "With the exception of fish oil and a daily multivitamin. While there is tons of research to back the use of supplementation, I want to try a no-supplement approach and see how my body responds. As Scott Abel said, protein powders don't make champions. Plus, I'm broke." So, it's actually really cool that Roger's going out and doing that, you know, going pretty much a no supplement route except for fish oil and a multi. And that's always fun. You know, it's like using your body as a lab and, you know, playing around with it, see how it reacts to certain supplements. And that's the only way to tell, you know, if a supplement is really making a difference is if you, you know, weed them out. Like I noticed, like I mentioned before on the show, I cannot take multivitamins. You know what, Roger? Although it's hurting the budget, you know, you can always go to blackstarlabs.com. You can save 10%, you know, code FIT10 on your supplements.
Thanks.
But, you know, I'll pose that to you guys. Are you guys, you guys might be in kind of like unique situations since, you know, the BioTest fairy comes and drops off stuff.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that is pretty cool.
Have you noticed that at all with your clients? Have your clients like actually asked you about, like, you know, are there certain supplements that I can actually take out of my daily regimen?
Not necessarily. I mean, we sell stuff at our facility. We don't like throw them onto people, but, you know, if we have a kid coming in that's 140 pounds trying to put on weight, you know, we want him to, you know, we might recommend Surge or, you know, something that, or a post-workout drink to some regard, but we haven't, I haven't come across that where people like came up to me and said, "Oh, I'm cutting back on, supplements." They might say they're going to cut back on their alcohol drinking or stuff like that. But, I could see where Roger's coming from. Like, back in the day, we didn't have supplements and people got big just by eating food, but it's not to say that supplements aren't, you know, don't help. I mean, 'cause they obviously do. And there's, you know, a lot of people say, "Oh, we don't need supplements," but you know, who knows, like 20 years from now, how we might be taking in, who knows what's going to happen 20 years from now. But, you know, like supplements, yes, they do work, and, you know, they might optimize certain things, and but certainly, you know, I wouldn't say that they're quite a quote-unquote necessity. But hey, you know, if it should be interesting to see what happens, you know, as far as what he's going to cut out and see what happens with his physique and strength and, you know, see what happens.
As far as protein goes, because supplements, there is a lot of supplements. I'm a junkie. I take a lot of supplements, but I don't really drink a ton of protein powder. I mean, I do have my low-carb metabolic diet. I love that stuff. Post-workout, I love it. At night, if I'm really fast, I've got to go to bed, and I really am so tired, and I just don't have time to make anything, and I'll just, like, quickly mix up some superfood and some low-carb Anyway, so I love that stuff, but people who are, like, depending on protein powders all the time, not because their schedules are busy, and in that case they would need to depend on protein powder for their protein intake as much as possible to get it where it needs to be, but people who are depending on protein powder for a supplement because they think that's better are totally nuts, because food is better. Chicken and shrimp and fish and steak and hamburger all taste a lot better than protein powder, and I like to chew my food, so I would say on the protein aspect, you're totally fine. On the other aspects, this is what I think. I think the body definitely will progress, and it will adjust to whatever you do with it. And I say that because I take a lot of supplements. So now my body is used to going on, like, high jet mode. When I get on all these supplements, I get all jacked up, and I've got tons of energy. I make enormous strides in building muscle and fat loss all at the same time, and everything's just amazing for me. And then when I cut them out, and yes, I do cut my supplements out about every 8 to 10 weeks, I take everything out for a whole week. Because I like to, it's the same with supplements as it is with weight training.
It's like a detox.
You have to, because otherwise your body gets acclimated to everything. Anyone who says that your body doesn't get acclimated to everything is just totally smoking dope. I mean, you got to get off of it and reintroduce it, so that it can have the same effects that it had before. So you're fine to go off of supplements. And people who don't take a lot of extra supplements other than fish oil and multivitamins, they still do get a lot of progress. They still get ripped. They still get lean. There's a lot of athletes that don't take added, you know, creatine and beta-alanine and branched-chain amino acids. And there's a ton, I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, your body will do what it will do. And so I would not say that supplements are an absolute necessity, but they do help. And the best way that they help, if you ever decide to go back on supplements, it's kind of like a geometric equation. It doesn't really, it's not a direct thing, but if you get the right combination of supplements, and Tony, I'm sure you and Eric and Jimmy and everyone will agree with this, it really impacts your recovery ability. Like, immensely crazy amount of recovery is so much better, and it just allows you to train harder, which gets you the results faster. It's the result of harder training that's getting you your results, not the supplements. If you can recover and you can train harder and more often, you're going to get leaner and you're going to get bigger and you're going to get stronger. So it's, like I said, it's not a direct thing. It's more of an indirect thing, but I definitely think the recovery factor is huge with the supplementation. So there you go.
Very well put. I think that's a perfect, you know, perfect way to end this show. I don't think we can really do any better.
You
really can't. So we're just going to have to give up for this week. But we will be back next week. We're going to have the same crew plus Jimmy Smith. Again, for all of his fans out there. And again, please just head to the website and vote for that guest for the 100th episode. It's a pretty big deal. We could be having some extra shows there and after that. I think as things wind down here in Santa Monica and I head back east, I think we'll be doing some more interesting stuff. So keep a lookout for that. But for this week, for episode number 98, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Tony Delacour.
I'm Jen Heath.
We'll see you all next week. Again, please don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Check out jenheath.com. New and updated, by the way.
Hey, thanks for mentioning. mentioning that. Yes, I got a brand new website, everybody. Yay!
It's awesome. Everyone should check it out. Brand new interface. It's really cool. Also, GentleCoreTraining.com, CrestedPerformance.com. We'll have links for Tony's Step Up blog as well in the show notes. And you can always go to GentleCoreTraining.com, and there's also a link for the blog on Tony's site. So check out all that stuff. And for people out there, please add to the fans of the FitCast and Cressy Performance on Facebook. This both two groups on there, so you can do that. But that's it for us. Until next week, take care, everyone, and go hit the gym. See you next time.